welcome to the program. Today we continue and probably conclude, I think, today in this series on the importance of sound doctrine. We'll be looking in the book of Titus. Have your Bible ready. This book that we have here is called Titus. It's called that because it's actually addressed to a man whose name is Titus. Titus was a Greek Christian. Of course, that makes him a Gentile. And he traveled with Paul the Apostle through some really tough times. And now he is the pastor on the island of Crete. Crete was a very, very wicked, worldly place. The environment was not where you would want to raise your kids, and it wouldn't be the first choice to go and start a church either. There were several churches on that island, and they were meeting in their houses, as they did for the first 250 to 300 years in the early church. The influence of the world, though, was gaining control in those churches, very much like our fundamental independent Baptist churches of today. The influence of the world is gaining control. An influence is to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone. Influence has the power to determine how we do what we are commanded to do in the Word of God. And so if you want to know how things should be done in this age of apostasy, just take a look at 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus, which were written to the individual pastors, Timothy being one, Titus being the other one, and God was, through Paul the Apostle, was giving them instructions concerning how things need to be done in an age of apostasy. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul said, I am a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith. I'm doing it according to the faith. In verse number 3, he said his word, that's God's word, is what he was doing, was preaching it. He said, it is committed unto me according to the commandment of God. I'm doing it the way God says to do it. The influence of the world is changing that in a major way in this age in which we are living today. Now, a song was written, we're going to listen to it, and camped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise. We don't sing a whole lot of songs about Christian soldiers anymore, do we? And press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Paul said, I am a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith.
And camped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. by faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread, and echo with our shout. White raiment shall begin. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
In Paul's letter to the pastor there, Titus, his name is, on the island of Crete. In verses number 1 through 4, we have Paul's introduction, and then from 5 to 16, we have Paul's instructions. Now, let's read the first four verses. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Now he begins here with Paul, a servant of God and an apostle. Interesting, he puts servant first. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Now, I want to just say a word about that elect. It's not, you know, somebody says that we've been elected to salvation and God has elected certain ones to go to heaven and others to go to hell. That is just plain blasphemy, is that what that is. God's elect here, it's in verse 1, Paul, a servant. Election always has to do with serving, not with salvation. And in any event, and he goes on to say that to this pastor, to Titus, he says things need to be done, verse 3, according to the commandment of God. Now, we saw in a previous program in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 38, the phrase according to. Mary, a young teenager, found out she was going to bring the Christ child into the world, and she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Well, then in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, we see those who walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. It's simply a choice. We're going to decide what we should do. However, in verse 1 through 4, we have Paul's introduction. But then, verse 5 to 16, we have his instructions for the pastor on how to do what God commands us to do as pastors. And so he says in verse number 5, For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now again, remember, Titus had traveled with Paul for many years, possibly one of his converts. As a young man, he went through a lot of situations with Paul the Apostle, which was his training program for this situation here on the island of Crete. And so Paul says, for this cause, this is the cause right here. That phrase, this cause, is found 26 times in the Word of God. God has a purpose. You're here in this world for a purpose. You're not here just to see how much money you make and how fancy a house you can buy and how big a car you can get. We are here for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now he says to this young pastor, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting. Boy, we just had some preachers who would do that today. No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to go messing up the attendance here by setting in order the things that are wanting. Well, he says here that he was to ordain elders in every city. And then in verse 7, he says, for a bishop must be blameless. Now, why the two terms here? Both elder and both bishop are synonymous with the word pastor. The word elder was something that the Jews understood. The word bishop was something that the Greeks understood that had to do with leadership. And that's why Paul is using these different words. And one of the things that the leadership, the pastor, was to be doing, verse 9, is holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to convince the gainslayers. You're going to be able to hold fast the faithful word by sound doctrine, he says, you can convince the gainsayers. For verse 10 says, there are many, many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And what should happen here? Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. Their mouths must be stopped. So when Paul the Apostle was telling this young pastor, Titus, what his responsibilities are, he said, for this cause I left you in Crete to set in order the things that are wanting. One of the things that are wanting is that Titus had to confront the leadership in those churches there on the island of Crete, that they need to get a hold of what the Bible calls sound doctrine, and their mouths can be stopped by sound doctrine. What it says here then, verse number 11, they're subverting whole houses. Why does it say houses? Well, because they're meeting in houses. Churches were in the houses at that time. Well, they're teaching things they ought not to teach. And what was Titus to do? Verse 13, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Rebuke them sharply. Now we're living in an age when we don't want to do that. David Clout has a great magazine and a lot of tremendous information in it, O Timothy, and he does a lot of exposing what is unsound in the faith. Oh, and he's maligned by most Christians. If you're going to stand up and do what God commanded Titus to do in an age of apostasy, like David Clout is doing today in his O Timothy papers, you're going to be abused by those people who call themselves Christians today. They're really Christianettes. That's what they are. Well, we see here, rebuke them sharply that they, those preachers who haven't got sound doctrine, may be sound in the faith. Paul said in Titus 1:1, Paul, I am Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth. He said, we got to go according to the faith. We have to go according to the truth. And it says here that some are turning from the truth, verse number 14. And that is exactly what is happening today in our so-called fundamental independent Baptist churches on a major scale. There is a lot of unsound doctrine out there today, but the most major one of all is this garbage that says you do not need to repent in order to be saved. That is what the Bible calls a damnable heresy. Peter, when he was coming to the end of his little book, and his last words here were in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, he said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you." Now, we got a lot of false prophets among the people, but we also have false teachers in our fundamental churches these days who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, that's a heresy that'll send you to hell, even denying the Lord that bought them. Bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed three times. Even denying the Lord that redeemed them and bring upon themselves swift destruction, or the word has been translated waste. Our churches are simply a waste if we're not standing up in this age of apostasy and rebuking those who are not standing up and saying that we need to repent in order to be saved, because that's what Jesus said. "I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish."
To the work, to the work. We are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and its banner our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, there is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall. And the name of Jehovah exalted shall be in the loud swelling chorus. Salvation is free. In the strength of the Lord, and a robe and a crown shall our labor reward. When the home of the faithful our dwelling shall be, and we shout with the ransomed, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes.